We are starting a new topic, Reish Mem Tet, 249, Dinim HaShayachim, the Erev Shabbat. So this is now getting into the way that the halachot for Shabbat are set up, is that we get into the things you do before Shabbat. You kind of walk through the day and then get much more into the nitty-gritty of the Isurim, which is the bulk of Hilchot Shabbat, is discussing the different nuances of the melachot. But as far as we're concerned, we're going to start now with what your Erev Shabbat is supposed to look like. So Aleph, Ein nasa'in be'erev Shabbat o be'erev Yom Tov yoter me'gimel parsa'ot. So you are not supposed to travel Erev Shabbat or Erev Yom Tov more than three parsa'ot. This is all going to be qualified, because three parsa'ot is, you know, however long it takes walking. We can obviously go a lot further than we were ever able to, because you can just get in a car and drive. A lot of the halachot that we see about distances and things may or may not have to be rethought in terms of Pesach. You go through the whole list, because up until 1878 or whatever it is, before Daimler produced the first car, it wasn't America, it was Germany. Before that invention, getting places was slow and whatever, even the train, reasonably speaking, until you could just literally hop in the car. It was a game changer. It was a massive game changer. And how we think about these things. But say most of the halachot are going to be tied to the way it was, and we're really not even talking about that long ago. We're talking about 150 years ago, which in the scheme of things, we know people who knew people who did not have that technology, right? I talk about it a lot. I prayed by Rav Kaduri. Rav Kaduri was a Talmud of the Ben Ishchai. Ben Ishchai was a Rav in Baghdad in the 1850s, who writes about in his Shuvot this new amazing invention called the telegram. Telegraph. It's an amazing new thing, the telegraph. Right? And the Ben Ishchai's rebbes were alive during the revolution. At least one of his rebbes, I'm pretty sure, was alive during the revolution. We think about like Har Sinai being so far back, and Lamassé, it really isn't. If you start thinking that way, that I know somebody who, we're 3 or 4 degrees of separation from people who were alive during the Revolutionary War. We're probably 10 or less to the Spanish Inquisition. So to Har Sinai, maybe 40, 50 degrees of separation. In the scheme of things, not tremendously, right? I mean, I just threw out the number. I didn't do the math, but just to think about, we are three or four degrees of separation away from the revolution. Not in the civil, the revolution. It's big. So, and that is going to be factored into how we look at this halakhot. Anyway, but I digress. And this, if you were not aware of guests and you hadn't prepped food for them. So this is the major consideration, right? We're talking about Erev Shabbat, right? The expression of the Gemara is everybody who prepares Erev Shabbat will have what to eat on Shabbat. That's talking about Olam Haba. But Lamao say this is very real. Right? And he's saying exactly what you would expect to say you know, in our modern circumstance, is if you have prepped the food, you've taken care of business, you can travel even after a third of the day is gone. In other words, when we talk about a third of the day gone, the day is broken up into 12 halakhic hours, 12 solar hours, right? So a third of the yom of the, a third of the day would be the fourth hour of the day. Looking at spring, we're talking about 10 a.m., right? That you would, if you look at sunrise at being at 6, then 10 a.m. is 4 hours in the day, which is a third of the day. He's saying, yes, if you have food and you're prepped, you can travel even a couple of hours. He doesn't, right, even from city to city. So, you know, in terms of Eretz Yisrael, he's saying that you could go from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv and that wouldn't be an issue. And really, unless you're going down south, you know, a lot of Eretz Yisrael is not more than an hour or two away. Most of the things that you would want to go to, I think Be'er Sheva is like an hour and a half from Yerushalayim. You know, Beit El would be 30 minutes if you were allowed to go through Ramallah. Now it's like an hour, whatever it is. But, you know, things are relatively close one to another.
Driving, public transportation,
We're not talking about. We discussed flying. Flying is its own. Flying in boats is its own thing. We're talking about things that are relative. You know, in New York, we're talking about, can you hop the subway? Can you hop the LIR? Can you get in your car? You know, I wouldn't say play around with the city or going to Jersey, but and even then, people do.
Yeah,
you know, but
travel was in a couple of days.
When we're talking about that type of travel, we're talking about boat or plane. We discussed that before. That's its own matzav. That's talking about a travel that will be extended. We're talking about what we would call local travel. Okay, now coming up with the exact getter, we'll probably get into, but you know, kind of rule of thumb, you know, make sure that, and I'm not saying this at our Ovadia, I'm just saying, you know, just to keep your own, you know, kind of a rule of thumb that I always learned was, you know, try to give yourself 2 hours before Shabbat in case something goes wrong. You know, that even if you're at work, yes, there are people who work literally up to, and I've been there, but, you know, rule of thumb, you should try and give yourself 2 hours if possible for any unforeseen circumstance.
Traveling.
Specifically traveling. You know, I'm not talking about in the house, you know, shut your computer, but, you know, if you work or work elsewhere, you want to give yourself that buffer. And he's saying that we have a heter to be lenient these days because, again, his main concern is that we have food. We have to kind of keep the eye on the ball with that. And he's saying that these days we prep tons of food, just in general, right? We have fridges. We have freezers. Yeah, you can run into a situation where, like, oh, you're stuck with Cheerios for Shabbat Suda, but, like, you know, you contrast that to the Gemara of Rav Chanina Mendoza's wife. They were poor, and his wife threw wood into the oven so people would think they had bread, right? Yeah, it was actually just my friend that was by over the vacation. He was telling me a story of his grandfather. They're Bukhari, and his dad had remarried and threw his grandfather into the oven. when he was like a baby, he was screaming. And the only reason his father found out is the neighbors were coming by. What? You're holding out on me? You have meat? We smell meat. And then he ran home because he's like, I don't have meat. And then it turned out and his grandfather had burns all over the back of his head for the rest of his life.
I guess they didn't have
luxury. You have meat. So yeah, we have to consider ourselves, but that rewa that we have also is obviously halakhically significant as well. He says, really, you should really notify your guests and the guests should notify you that they're coming, so you make sure you have enough, that you're not going to take away from your own in Shabbat. Again, we joked about the Cheerios. Yes, you would have the Cheerios, but it's not really own in Shabbat. And then, of course, Chol Shabbat, to say, like, how am I going to have Shabbat without Jachnu? Right? It's not a thing. But if you aren't able to prepare for Shabbat what you have, and you can't inform your relatives that you're coming, you're still allowed to go there without telling them, just as long as you get there before Shabbat. So, in other words, he's basically giving you a heter to freeload. Lamaase, you're saying Shabbat, yeah, you can even like drop by unannounced to make sure you have food. B'chol ofen tzarich, go ahead. I think I kind of addressed this point, is that it's up to you to make the calculation about how long it's going to take you to get to such and such a place. I use this rule of thumb, but, you know, depending where you live, this, that, you know, if you're in New York, you got to give yourself more time. You know, think about you're in one of these out-of-town communities, and, you know, you can walk anywhere in the city in like a half hour, an hour. Walk, not drive, right? Suddenly, everything changes, right? You know, how much time you need to give yourself. And I think that all of us who were Zoche at one point, you know, if you were in Malot Dafna, you know, learned at Or Sameach, or, you know, there was I think Rav Machlis is still doing it, but if you've ever heard of Rav and Revitz Machlis, a very famous couple who every Shabbat had 100 guests. No exaggeration. I'm not exaggerating. 100 guests. They just had the table kind of sneaking through their however many bedroom with, I think they had, with more than 10 kids. And they had over 100 guests. They'd have guests from all over the world. And, you know, they had pictures of Revitz and Machlis's sink. You know, every Shabbat, wow, piled like this with chicken, and, you know, and like, you got your little piece of chicken. Like, I did it once or twice. You got your little piece of chicken, and, you know, a little this and a little that, and, you know, it was like the lechem abanim. You had a little bit, like, mm-hmm, you know, you walked out okay. Mm-hmm. So they prepped for like 100 people, without exaggeration. Yeah.
Some kind of experience,
I guess. Yeah, I think he's still doing it, even though his wife passed away a couple of years ago. I mean, they always had people in the neighborhood coming and helping, and they had their kids and this and that, but it doesn't matter. It's just, no, there were no dishes. Everything was paper and plastic. Yeah, they just you know,
tablecloth, everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it was tables like this, and just plastic, and just, you know, just the cheap plastic.
Yeah,
you know, and they had to fundraise for it. You know,
yeah,
but you know, you go there.
Where is it?
Mal and Daphna in Yerushalayim.
Oh, in Israel.
Israel. Oh, this is Israel. This is Israel, baby. You know. You know, but they wrote a biography about Rebbetzin Malfas and what she did, you know, and doing this whole thing. She was a cultural icon, you know, internationally. There, you know, people would joke during Sukkot, you know, in the end of Zechariah, it says that, you know, the nations are going to come for Sukkot. So you'd have all these, like, Christian missionaries coming to their Shabbat table singing, "The Lord is building Jerusalem." And, like, you know, a group of them. That was it, you know, and it was somewhere you had to be, you know, you had to do it at least once. Okay, you guys want to keep going? Okay, it's up to you where you're holding. We can do at least one more. We'll do one more. V'chlal kavod Shabbat hu likanes leShabbat keshehu mitave lechol sudat Shabbat. You're supposed to come into Shabbat wanting to eat the sudat Shabbat. ולכן אסוחה מים נקבורה בערב שבת סעודה ומשתה שאינו רגיל במי אכול. So the rabbi said that you should not arrange to have a fancy meal that you would not have during the rest of the week, ערב שבת. ואפילו בשעות הבוקר, even if it's in the morning. So, you know, think about you're having a Brit. We'll get into that, but
Friday morning,
you know, Friday morning, like, don't sit down, you know, you know, this big thing on Thanksgiving, right? You know, Black Friday, a lot of people take that second day, like, ah, we're off, Baruch Hashem, and then, and it's saying that that's a sore. If you're going to sit down, if it's not, you know, don't say today is bagel day, right? Something that's just a regular meal that you would normally have. You would be able to have this normal meal. You know, you can have your peanut butter sandwich. But it said that really, the mitzvahs, once you hit 9 hours in the day, remember we're talking about that 12-hour thing, so we're talking about, let's say, you know, on the 6 to 6, so we're saying by 3 p.m., maybe don't have that sandwich. So that, you know, that you're not full walking and you don't really want that soda. And he said, even somebody, this comes from the Malachim, you know, the kings would always have these really fancy, like even somebody who's usually does have a, every day have a big meal, Erev Shabbat, he said, you should scale it back a bit. You know, think about, you know, my grandfather, Aloy Shalom, was in PR. So he would have these, you know, really serious business meals all the time because he was trying to, you know, well, he was trying to make deals. So his thing was getting business people into financial magazines or newspapers or whatever. So, like, if you ever heard somebody on Bloomberg and they interviewed such and such an expert, it would be my grandfather who would make that kind of shit up. So, those meals were always, yeah, fine dining. So, I was saying, the Ravadi is saying, like, really, even that's what you normally do, this Arab Shabbat, pull back on it.